Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Barbell Medicine Podcast. I'm Dr. Jordan Feigenbaum. I hope you've had a great week so far. In today's podcast, I wanted to talk about one of the biggest factors that has changed nutrition all over the world, the food environment. All right, so what is the food environment? The idea of an organism's food environment originated from the field of ecology, describing the food chain for various species of animals. In humans, however, the term food environment came into use in the 1970s, referring to not only the food on hand, but also its affordability, convenience, promotion, and quality for an individual or society. In simple terms, the food environment represents what's available to eat, how desirable a food is, and how easy or hard it is to obtain it. Now, the food environment is scalable, sometimes referring to the nutrition environment of an individual's home, school, or workplace, and other times describing the community's grocery stores, restaurants, and so on. By convention, neighborhood food environments are limited to about a one-mile radius or 20-minute walk from home, school, or the workplace. But in addition to changes in the local food environment or neighborhood food environment, food delivery services and apps have dramatically expanded the food environment for many. For example, digital orders have grown into nearly a $30 billion a year industry in the United States, with nearly two-thirds of Americans using at least one food delivery platform. As we'll see, the rapid and widespread uptake of food delivery services has likely had a large impact on what and how much people eat. Over the last 50 years, the food environment has changed in many ways, from the increased availability of tasty, cheap, high-calorie processed foods to the larger portion sizes and greater number of meals being consumed away from home. People are eating much differently than they used to. Interestingly, the changes to the food environment seem to coincide with the onset of the obesity epidemic. From the late 1970s to now, the obesity rate in the United States grew from 15% to over 40% in 2021. Over the same time period, there's been a large increase in both the availability and consumption of ultra-processed foods, as they now make up an estimated 70% of the United States food supply. As a consequence, the consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages, things like soda, and other ultra-processed foods like cookies, sweetened cereals, candies, frozen pizza, and similar have all increased, now accounting for over 50% of the energy intake in developed countries, including the United States. A diet of ultra-processed foods, particularly those including sugar-sweetened beverages or foods with added sugar, tend to promote fat gain by increasing energy intake when compared to an unprocessed diet. A quick aside, ultra-processed foods are items that require multiple steps to manufacture, such as extrusion, hydrogenation, or other chemical modifications like added sweeteners that are pretty much exclusive to the food industry, meaning you can't really do these things at home. While labeling a food as ultra-processed doesn't automatically make it bad, like whey protein is an ultra-processed food, for example, the majority of ultra-processed foods on the market today are hyper-palatable, which means very tasty, while also containing a lot of calories and not being particularly filling. Next, the amount of food that's being consumed away from home has more than doubled to over a third of an individual's daily intake on average in about the same time frame. Restaurant numbers have also increased rapidly to keep up with this demand, and actually based on survey data, more than 60% of adults ate food from either a fast food or full-service restaurant in the past 24 hours. Reduced access to healthy foods, perceived time scarcity, and lack of cooking skills are correlated with consumption of meals prepared outside of the home. In contrast, subjects who viewed their diet as healthy and believed that it was helpful in managing their weight tend to eat at restaurants less frequently. The problem with food prepared outside the home is that it tends to be higher in calories while delivering less nutritional value. A 2008 study of 1,418 U.S. adults found that for every additional meal per week consumed from a fast food or full-service restaurant, BMI increased by 0.8 and 0.6, respectively. As an illustrative example of how food choices tend to differ when they're prepared outside of the home, the most commonly ordered foods from a popular food delivery app, well, they're cheeseburgers, french fries, pizzas, nachos, cheesecake, ribs, chicken and waffle sliders, things like that. The popularity and ease of obtaining these calorie-dense, ultra-processed foods has significantly changed the food environment and subsequently food behaviors. Lastly, the portion size of foods on the market today has also increased substantially from the 1970s to now. For example, the classic American hamburger and soda are now 2 to 5 times larger than when they were first introduced. And compared to the USDA and FDA serving sizes established decades ago, cookies, pasta, muffins, steaks, and bagels on the market today are orders of magnitude higher. I mean, cookies are 700% larger than the portion sizes that were established back in the day. Portion size has important implications for how many calories people consume. When food portions are doubled, for example, people spontaneously eat an average of about 35% more calories. People also tend to compensate poorly for this behavior at subsequent meals, as they don't really believe that they had eaten more food and do not report increased feelings of fullness compared to those who consumed smaller portions and less overall energy. One study provided subjects with different amounts of potato chips in the same size bag, and as predicted, subjects ate more potato chips when they were provided more, but they also ate about the same amount of calories 3 hours later at dinner, regardless of how many potato chips that they actually had. A recent review of 72 studies suggests that the majority of the increase in energy intake over the past 40 to 50 years is attributable to increased portion size, leading to a spontaneous increase in calorie intake. When combined with the increased frequency of eating food prepared outside of the home, it's pretty clear to see how increased portion sizes are likely to play a major role in the increased calorie consumption. Okay, more on food environment right after this break. Okay, we're back here on the Barbell Medicine Podcast talking about the food environment. So let's talk about how does the food environment affect health. So somewhat recently, the impacts of a particular food environment have been examined with respect to both dietary patterns and risk of chronic disease. And with respect to weight management, the proximate cause of the obesity epidemic is thought to be an increase in daily energy intake, which has gone up by about 500 calories per day in adults between 1977 and 2006. There's been some change over the last, 15 years or so, but not nearly as dramatic as the 500-calorie increase we saw over the preceding 40. Now, changes to the food environment discussed previously, they're less supportive of a health-promoting dietary pattern, as it's difficult to make nutritious food choices when there's reduced availability, convenience, and affordability, and that ultimately challenges the ability for folks to choose a healthy alternative. Thus, it would be reasonable to conclude that the food environment has played a large role in driving the increase in calorie intake, which has subsequently been the proximate cause of the obesity epidemic. While most health experts agree with this take, the evidence linking the food environment is mostly suggestive. There are a number of challenges involved in studying the effects of the food environment on health outcomes. For example, most supermarkets are often coded in the research as improving the food environment, making for a better food environment. And this is due to the availability of healthy food options, despite supermarkets also having many unhealthy choices. In support of this conundrum, let's consider two food environments commonly discussed in the scientific literature: food deserts and food swamps. A food desert is an area with limited access to healthy foods, which is determined by the distance between the home and local supermarkets or other establishments with, quote, healthy foods. Now, food swamps are a little bit different in that they have an increased access to fast food or other, quote, unhealthy food choices, but there are also some healthy choices. There's just a greater density of unhealthy options comparatively. Now, both food deserts and food swamps are associated with poorer dietary quality, a higher BMI, and yet an increased risk in obesity. However, the interesting thing is here, when you build supermarkets and other places with, quote, healthy options in food deserts, which thereby creates a food swamp, BMI values and overall dietary quality tend to stay about the same. Emerging research is showing that it's not enough to just have access to supermarkets and healthy restaurants, but rather that the available food environment doesn't have a lot of unhealthy choices available. Put simply, increased access to unhealthy food choices seem to be a stronger predictor of obesity risk than the lack of access to healthy foods. Taken together with the broad changes in the food environment across pretty much all neighborhoods, cities, and the country at large, it's not surprising that slightly different food environments don't always produce measurable changes in health outcomes like weight management or diabetes risk. I mean, when's the last time that you were surrounded by places where you could only get healthy foods that were affordable and convenient? Now, contrast that to the amount of time that you spend in places where you could easily get unhealthy food in large portions for cheap. Does the food environment really look that different across zip codes? One exception to this is the food environment of individuals of lower socioeconomic status, who show a much stronger relationship between measurements of health and their immediate retail food environment. This has been termed deprivation amplification, where individuals of lower socioeconomic status, well, their food behaviors are more strongly influenced by the food environment than those of higher socioeconomic statuses. With increased access to tasty, convenient, cheap, high-calorie foods due to the modern food environment, well, people are more likely to eat too many calories. And over time, this produces an increase in body fat, which can cause downstream changes in hormonal regulation of body fat at the level of the brain, thereby leading to weight stability at an elevated level of body fat. And that's how obesity causes an increased risk of disease. The maintenance of a higher-than-healthy body fat level over time, where the excess fat causes dysfunction. The fact that research looking at just two communities with different retail food environments doesn't always find differences in health outcomes when both of them are relatively bad isn't terribly surprising. This is similar to when we talk about saturated fat intake and its risk for raising LDL and triglycerides and ultimately increasing risk of heart disease. When you're trying to compare a high intake of saturated fat versus a low intake of dietary saturated fat, well, they actually have to be different enough to see a difference. And in this case, it's like, well, all of the food environments are pretty bad. It's not that you just, you know, live in a different area and you don't have access to a 7-Eleven or a corner store that doesn't have fresh fruits and vegetables or access to unhealthy options at the supermarket. Now, one could make the argument that changes to portion sizes and food behaviors like eating food prepared outside of the home, well, those aren't purely changes to the food environment, and you might prefer a term like the food system has changed. Now, I don't really have a problem with that, as we're both saying the same thing, we're just calling it something else. But the take home here is the same. And yeah, there's some additional nuance, but the food environment everywhere is not very supportive of a health promoting dietary pattern. For individuals who are dealt an unfavorable genetic hand and are those with little means to overcome the modern food environment or food system, well, it's even worse. All right, let's talk about how to change the food environment. The quote, built food environment of a neighborhood, city, or country includes everything from street vendors and kiosks to restaurants, corner stores, and supermarkets. But short of large-scale policy change affecting the food supply chain, food production, distribution, food marketing, and more, I don't think that there's a lot that an individual can do to change the food environment at large. And in my estimation, it's not hyperbolic to say that without changes to policies affecting the food environment, the obesity pandemic will continue. But on the other hand, it may be feasible for some to change the nutritional microenvironments that they're exposed to at the home, at the workplace, or similar. For example, if someone has the means to change what they buy at the supermarket to include more and minimally processed foods like fruits, vegetables, lean proteins, whole grains, legumes, while simultaneously avoiding purchasing foods with added sugar, added sodium, added fat, particularly those of the ultra-processed variety, well, their food environment will be drastically improved at home, the workplace, or wherever. Suffice it to say, if it's not in the house or in the workplace, you can't really eat it. Of course, radically altering the food environment at home or the workplace isn't always possible, even for those with means. Can you imagine if you have a kid or significant other and they're not on the same dietary pattern as you? Well, that's going to cause some friction. Other strategies for the individual who wants to change their food environment includes learning to cook in order to reduce perceived barriers like time scarcity or lack of skill so they can prepare more meals at home. Also, making healthier choices more visible than less healthy choices. So if you put the cookies in the back of the cupboard and put something more health-promoting in front, like oatmeal per se, you are more likely to make healthier choices, as silly as that may sound. Also, eliminating food delivery apps may also provide a benefit for some. At the retail level, vendors placing healthier foods in more visible areas and small price discounts may make a difference too in purchasing behavior, especially with fruits and vegetables. For many people, however, significantly changing the food environment in a way that promotes a healthy diet is not really possible or maybe even desirable. Food security, disordered eating, and/or special dietary needs can all influence the calculus here. Yes, the food environment likely plays a large role in health. It's just not that easy to change for most. All right, let's wrap things up here. In summary, the food environment describes the food available to an individual based on its affordability, convenience, promotion, and quality. It is scalable, ranging from the home and workplace all the way to what's available in the community or the geographic region. As we discussed, the food environment has changed significantly over the last 40 to 50 years, which coincides with the timing of the obesity epidemic. Ultra-processed foods that are tasty, cheap, high-calorie, and readily available are now ubiquitous. With the rise of food delivery services and fast-paced lifestyles, people are eating foods that are prepared outside of the home and have larger portion sizes more than ever. Combining all these factors with genetics that are not well adapted to this food environment and reduced physical activity results in a predictable response, an obesity epidemic. Although it is possible that the local food environment has only a small effect on healthy food behaviors, this is most likely due to the limitations in the current body of research, especially in the way the food environment is defined and the lack of a good comparator. In short, where are all the really healthy food environments? Finally, an individual may be able to change their microenvironment by changing the way that they shop and improving their cooking shops, but large-scale changes to the food environment will likely require radical policy change. All right, that's it for this episode of the Barbell Medicine Podcast. If you like this episode, please share it with a friend and leave us a 5-star review. Hopefully you have a great rest of the week. I'm Dr. Jordan Feigenbaum. Thanks for listening.